may be seated. We want to take just a few moments and share one of my favorite passages of Scripture with you this morning. And you know, last week we took a look at the mercy of the king, a spot where David demonstrated mercy to Saul, spared him in the cave, didn't take his life when he had the opportunity to. This morning I want to talk about the grace of the king, and just one of the absolute favorite stories in Scripture, and it's found in 2 Samuel, and it's in chapter 9. And I want to put your minds at ease for just a second if you're thinking, holy cow, we just ate and he's still going to go ahead and preach. Normally I have about a 7-page sermon, okay? This morning it's 2. So we're going to go quick here, all right? So, and part of that is just the Scriptures printed in it, all right? So here we go. Plus I also know you have full bellies, so I have a limited time before those eyes will close here in a few moments. So 2 Samuel chapter 9, I just want to read the chapter, and we're going to see incredible grace that David shows to Mephibosheth. 2 Samuel verse 9, chapter 9, verse 1, David asked, "Is there anyone remaining from the family of Saul I can show kindness to for Jonathan's sake?" There was a servant of Saul's family named Ziba. They summoned him to David, and the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" "I am your servant," he replied. So the king asked, "Is there anyone left of Saul's family that I can show the kindness of God to?" Folks, that is a beautiful verse. That is an incredible phrase, that I can show the kindness of God to. We'll come back to that in a little bit. I am, lost my spot, sorry. Still continue on, verse 3. Ziba said to the king, "There is still Jonathan's son who was injured in both feet." The king asked him, "Where is he?" Ziba answered the king, "You'll find him in Lodabar at the house of Machir, son of Amiel." So King David had him brought from the house of Machir to the son of Amiel in Lodabar. Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, son of Saul, came to David, fell down, and paid homage. David said, "Mephibosheth." "I am your servant," he replied. "Don't be afraid," David said to him, "since I intend to show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore to you all your grandfather Saul's fields, and you will always eat meals at my table." Mephibosheth paid homage and said, "What is your servant that you take an interest in a dead dog like me?" Then the king summoned Saul's attendant, Ziba, and said to him, "I have given to your master's grandson all that belonged to Saul and his family. You, your sons, and your servants are to work the ground for him, and you are to bring in the crops so your master's grandson will have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, your master's grandson, is always to eat at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Ziba said to the king, "Your servant will do all my lord the king commands." So Mephibosheth ate at David's table just like one of the king's sons. Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. All those living in Ziba's house were Mephibosheth's servants. However, Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem because he always ate at the king's table. His feet had been injured. It's one of my favorite stories in Old Testament history. Just absolutely beautiful. And folks, just being honest with you, it's just fun to say Mephibosheth. I mean, just say it. Just say it once if you want to. Mephibosheth. Yeah, and you can wipe that off if you need to, too, every once in a while there. So, all right? But a beautiful picture. All right? Saul has already died. Jonathan's dead. In fact, at this point, they've mourned Saul's death. They've mourned Jonathan's. They've mourned the wrongful killing of Saul's military leader, Abner, and of Saul's other son, Ishbosheth. And it would have been normal practice at this point. David is the new king, kind of establishing his authority, establishing his reign. It would have been perfectly normal in that society at that time. You just wipe out all of the other descendants of the previous king so there could be no threat to your throne. There could be no threat to whose right it was to sit on that throne. But instead of wiping out the descendants of Saul, David searches for the descendants of Saul. Folks, I want you to catch a couple things quickly this morning. Don't ever forget that God searches you out. He searches for you. Mephibosheth was living in a remote, barren area, Lodabar. God searches us out, even as we live far away from him, wrapped up in our own sin, separated from him. Folks, one of the things that's scary to me about our society today is so many folks are privileged, or they expect to be privileged. And I think when we live in a society where so many people just expect things to happen for them or expect things to be given to them, it is very difficult for them to be aware of grace. If you think you deserve every good thing, you probably can't understand grace. It's a hard concept to get. Quite often we ask the question, why is this happening to me? When probably the question we should ask more often is, why isn't that happening to me? Recognize grace is around us. Mephibosheth got grace. He referred to himself as a dead dog. Dogs were repulsive to Jews. There were no cute little Jewish poodles running around with a beanie on their head, okay? They were repulsive, just as repulsive as I think poodles are still today, right? Okay? Sorry if you own a poodle. Mel? No, I'm sorry. Okay. But, never mind. But he refers to himself not only as a dog, he refers to himself as a dead dog. An animal that was repulsive to them, but also dead. Jews weren't to touch anything that was dead. Mephibosheth recognizes he doesn't deserve anything. And in that culture, even being lame, being injured, being disabled, would have had another stigmatism to it. He was dropped as a small child, injured his feet. He's vile, he's unclean, he believes. But one of his phrases, when he first responds to David, he bows before David, and he also says, I am your servant. And folks, I know, man, I love being reminded that I am a child of God. I love being reminded that by faith I've been adopted into God's family. And that is a beautiful picture. And we probably sing a lot more songs that talk about, hey, I'm a child of God. But I also want to be able to say with Mephibosheth, I'm your servant. So maybe I ask you this morning, how often do you think of yourself in that phrase to the Lord? I am your servant. David starts to display this grace towards him. And that incredible phrase I pointed out for a second, somebody that I can show the Lord's kindness, God's kindness to. Soapbox for just a split second, please, okay? I am so glad for what our schools are attempting to do when they do character education. I can appreciate that. I know when they kind of started those things, maybe they picked out these, you know, 9 words or whatever, they focus on a different one per month, and I'm so glad for that, folks. But we also still have to recognize all character education that is apart from the character of God will ultimately fail, okay? And so I'm thankful for our godly teachers who can model a love that is a kindness from God that they are showing to others. Because you will run out and you will run on empty, burn out, flame out, whatever phrase you want to use, if you're trying to just show your love for people. And so I am reminded, folks, in some ways, when we put character education in our public schools and we tell these kids we want them to be honorable or compassionate and we want them to do all these things, but we're not giving them the love of Christ along with that, in a way, we're laying chains of asking them to act one way without giving them the behavior and the heart change that it takes to live that way, okay? But David says, I want to show not just my kindness. I want to show the kindness that God has shown to me. I want to show that kindness on to others around. And he shows this kindness in part also because of what Jonathan had done. Jonathan, of course, was Saul's son. David and Jonathan were very close. They had a covenant together. David had even covenanted with Saul to look out for Saul's descendants. He had covenanted the same with Jonathan. And so David, the king, shows some of this kindness in a way, somewhat because of what Jonathan has done. It's good for us to be reminded, guys, that God shows us kindness because of what Jesus has done. In many ways, Jesus is our Jonathan. Because of Jesus' sacrifice for us on the cross, God is able to give us the grace and faith because of what he has done. When grace is extended, it's personal. When we show people grace, it's personal. David wants Mephibosheth to dine at his table. is an interaction. This is individual. It's not just a passing word here, hey, have a nice day, God loves you. It's personal. I want to bring you into relationship. I love us having breakfast together, not just because I like bacon, but because I also love us just getting to sit together. Getting to sit together and just love on each other for a while. Get to know each other. It is very personal. God doesn't just give salvation and then walk away. He saves us because he wants us to enjoy him forever. Salvation is what allows us to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit and to spend eternity in his presence. But God doesn't just do that. He also sustains us. When David takes care of Mephibosheth, he isn't going to just run out now and be all fine because he's had one meal at the king's table. He's been invited to eat at the king's table for the rest of his life. David's grace sustains him, just as God's grace continues to sustain us. You are in Christ Jesus. His grace provides. David lines up the servant Ziba, the servant's family, and all of the servant's servants. Like 35, 36 people, if you count Ziba in that list, who are going to still go back and take care of all of Saul's estate, while Mephibosheth doesn't have to work on for anything, and he enjoys life at the king's table. Folks, you can't earn what God wants to give you. Mephibosheth couldn't have taken care of all of that. And what gets restored to him? He was Jonathan's son. But what gets restored? All of Saul's estate to him. Folks, what God has for you is so much greater than what we can imagine, than what we could ever earn or do on our own by any means. It's also a reminder here for us to keep our covenants. David promised to care for Jonathan's family. And through this picture, we're also seeing that David is obviously an example of God keeping his promises. The fact that God keeps his covenants is what empowers and motivates us to keep ours. We want to be sure we don't get that backwards, folks. We aren't trying to keep a covenant with God so that he will keep up his end of the deal. He is always faithful. He always keeps his covenant, and it overflows to us and enables us to be faithful. It's a reminder, folks, that we are Mephibosheth. We're lame. We're a child of the enemy. Yet we're loved by the King of Kings, who drew us in and accepts us through Jesus. I kind of already mentioned it, but don't forget, the king has plenty. They weren't dieting at a king's table. He has plenty. Mephibosheth was given something he could never earn, he could never repay. The grace that Jonathan gave to David, David gives on. And recognizing others is important, is one of the ways that we can do that. It's a beautiful story from another pastor. He was traveling in Switzerland, and he was getting ready to take a city bus. And the Swiss are perfectionists, so their buses run right on time. So as he's getting closer to the bus stop, there are people just gathering for that bus, knowing it'll be there right on time. He's kind of making his way on up to it. And he notices a small boy just walking down the sidewalk, probably around 6 or 7 years old. And the boy's just doing what boys do, just looking around, just having a good time, just walking down the sidewalk, looking all over the place. As the boy gets a little bit closer to the bus stop area and kind of to the crowd of people, this pastor notices that the little boy looks around, and the little boy suddenly looks behind him. And when the little boy looks behind him, he suddenly realizes he's by himself. He didn't know that before. And all of a sudden, you could see an expression change on the little boy's face, and he became concerned. And then he started crying out. He's looking all around. He starts crying out, "Somebody! Somebody! Somebody!" He's crying out, "Somebody!" And as he gets a little closer and he gets a little louder, the pastor's saying, somebody needs to help him. And he gets a little closer, and the crowd kind of, you know how crowds kind of do, or the kid's upset, you're kind of like, hey, what do we do? And they're backing. As he gets a little closer, it also becomes obvious that the child has Down syndrome. Now he's yelling out, "Somebody, somebody." And the bus has arrived, and a few folks are starting to get on the bus, and the pastor notices out of the crowd, one lady
starts quickly walking forward and walks over to the little boy, wraps him up in her arms, and just starts whispering into his ears, "Somebody, somebody, somebody, somebody." He's thankful. He's on the bus and pulling away and still watching the woman hold a child and comfort him, and the tears were stopping to flow. And all of a sudden he noticed something else. A second woman came running up. The second woman was Mom. Mom got there. She was so thankful that somebody else had shown somebody love. That first woman, she knows what it's like to receive. And when you receive grace, the best thing you know to do with it is give it. She caught that picture. That mom was so thankful for it. That pastor just said, "What a picture." David knew he'd received grace. He knew he received grace from God, and he was passing it on. Caring for Mephibosheth. We're Mephibosheth. We've received grace. Are we passing it on? Are we treating other people like they are somebody? Are we loving them? Are we pointing them to Christ? Are we doing that not because we're trying to be a good person, but because we're doing that out of the outflow of what God has poured out on us? I just invite you. You have some opportunities for that this week as we love on our community. We don't go to do that to have a good time. As much as I like water slides, that's not the reason that's on the schedule, okay? We want the opportunity to tell folks about the grace of God who invites them to the King's table for all eternity.